Praise the Lord. It's good to be gathered together again in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I believe you're happy tonight. Some beautiful songs and worship. And I thought it was Judah Ben playing the drums, but he was standing here playing guitar. So you have a good team, drummers, musicians, and your voices. Some people might say, well, I don't have a great voice. But remember now, when you sing together with all the rest of them, you'll do fine. I know we have some people home, not to embarrass anyone, but there's some of them that can't sing. But when everyone sings the same tune, they can follow. But if there is a first and second and third, then they get in the middle somewhere. And then it might not sound that good. But just sing with the voice you got. And if you don't remember the text, there was a minister in Norway. He said that if you don't know the song and don't know the spelling of the word, just sing rai, rai, rai. And then there was a little boy, he couldn't read. So, but when they were started singing, he sang rai, rai, rai. He was just happy joining in. He just followed the preacher's advice. And rai doesn't really mean anything. It's just a sound. All right. We have been looking at a certain setting of the scripture. Been in Revelation chapter 10. And looked at an angel. And of course, when we look at such a scripture, it might sometimes create questions. Because sometimes some people put an emphasis on man and put him likened to be an angel. And then they end up really with a little controversy. Because the Bible really doesn't talk about men as angels. But I'm not going to repeat that, because you can listen to it if you want through recorded sermons. So we're just going to proceed. Because the angel also said something, especially when you go to verse 7. And he's speaking about the mystery of God. And really, I put a title on this little message. What is the mystery of God? And of course, here in this setting, it is written in a singular form, a mystery. But God, he has had a great plan. Like when he laid out the blueprint of what he was going to do, then he started out, and when Adam and Eve started out, hey, they had a lot of knowledge. Adam put names on all the animals, and the names he put on them, that's what they became, right? So when he's looked at the mouse and said, that's a mouse. And when he looked at the big creature with the long nose, he said, that's an elephant. And they haven't changed the name ever since. Right? So, but that's just an expression. But there were a lot of things Adam didn't know. You have now developed into a human race with a lot of access to things that were not really there back in the Garden of Eden or in the times of Moses, Abraham, Jesus Christ, or even 300-400 years ago, those things didn't exist. And now you look at them as they're normal, right? Little kids play with small iPads and Kindles. They might be down to 2-3 years old, and they can already do things that a 70-year-old don't know what to do anymore, because he was grown up before those things was came into the market. I thought myself, back in the 80s, I had a typewriter, and the typewriter came out with a memory. And that was unusual back in those days. So I thought, that's what I'm going to get, because then I only need to write it once. It's a memory. But the memory got used up pretty quick. It's not that they have the gigabytes hard drive like they did now. They do now. Back in those days, if you had 2 megabytes, you had a big machine, right? And now you can't get a program in on those small machines anymore. All right, so that just tells us. And I said, computers? No, I will never have any use for that. But it didn't go very long till I started using them. And I'm glad I did, because it got me a little further. And back in the horse and buggy days, there were preachers that said that cars, they come from hell because they scare the horses. And they didn't want them. But today, preachers drive cars like crazy. Right? And even some of them, they fly airplanes. Yeah. They take up donations, give me $60 million and I'll have an airplane. And you'll have your name written on it. That's the popular guys. I'm not asking for that. I hope you understand that. That's just an expression. But, and if it comes that people can go even higher and into space and get around the globe in 2 hours, they'll probably find up a way to do that also. But that's technology. And the Lord said he have mysteries, or a mystery. I want to go to the book of Daniel just to pick up a little of what I said this morning, so that we are familiar with the thought. I'll see if I can find my little scripture here. Let's see, did I pass it? It's Daniel chapter 12 anyway. And it is in the last part, in verse 9. I could have read the whole chapter. It's a very good chapter. But it just leads us into a specific line of thinking. In verse 9, Daniel 12, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So here, the angel of the Lord speaks to Daniel, and he tells him there are secrets, there are mysteries that are not supposed to be unfolded and told right now. And when you read in Revelation chapter 10, and also in other parts of Revelation, the angel of the Lord is speaking to John in a way that he understands what the angel says. But then the angels say, "Don't write these things. I was about to start to write." But the angel said, "Don't write it. This is going to be sealed up and not spoken of until the end of time." All right. So where are we now? end of time. I believe we are at the end of the sixth day. Some people have tried to announce the seventh day already. Some people think they are in the millennium. But what a millennium. Wars in every corner. And Saudi Arabia started a war again now. Just today they started flying into Yemen. And they are bombing and putting up a war, a fight to gain some victory for certain reasons and causes. We're not going to talk about that war tonight. We have a different one because the devil don't like us. But I'm so glad the Lord likes us. And He has a stronger power and a better view for us, a better future. So when you yield to Him, you are better off. Praise the Lord. So here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, we read that there are words that are closed up and sealed until the end of time. I remember back in 1978, that's a few years back, but I learned to know Brother Jackson, Raymond Jackson. He's no late. He passed away in December 2004. But that man, when I came down to the first convention in Norway in 1973, I got really thrilled by the man's ways of expressing the Word of God. Because he made the Bible talk. That's my way of expression. If you can make the Bible talk, you're doing a good job. And he really did. So from 73 till 78, a few years, I got acquainted with a brother. And we started really fellowshipping and traveling more together. And from 1977 and up till he passed away, he was a close friend with an insight in the scriptures that was very enjoyable. I learned a lot from that. And when I read the Bible, when he sent me tapes and informations about his preaching, it never came to a place where I felt, no, that cannot be the Bible. That cannot be the scripture. It always felt that, my, this is in harmony with what I see. Because you and I, we all read the Bible, right? We don't depend upon everybody else. We depend upon God. And there was one special Wednesday. I had been studying the scriptures, and especially on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And because we read that in the morning, this morning, about the angel that came down with a shout, and then there was the voice of the archangel, and it was the trump of God. And when I was sitting studying that scripture, and I said, to me, when I read this, it looks like it is three different phases or stages of events. Right? You understand me? Yeah. You can look up 1 Thessalonians 4 again, verse 16. Put it on behind me here so that you can see it anyways. I'm not just telling you things. It's really, really written down. So I was studying this. And in my prayers and study, I said, my, if I read this scripture right, the archangel hasn't really sounded yet. And that's a tough statement. Because some people said that, Brother Branham, When he preached, he had it all. And there can't come any more after him. When he passed away, it's all over. So some people, they don't expect any more to happen but the rapture, the changing of the bride. Right? But when I read that part, first there is a shout. And that shout is really the same shout that you read about in Matthew chapter 25. Where there is a cry out to prepare the bride of Christ. The 10 virgins, 5 were wise. And they heard the cry. And they prepared themselves, made themselves ready for whatever time that he would come, they would be ready. So they had oil on their lamps. And to me, that is the same as being filled with the Holy Ghost. Justification and sanctification gives you eternal life. But also the third, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, makes you a wise virgin and a bride. Because there are still 2 resurrections to come. One has passed, the Old Testament saints, Matthew 27 verse 53, 4, 5, somewhere up there, you will see that the Old Testament saints, they came out of the graves after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they showed themselves for many. And they were not people like Lazarus. Lazarus, he had a natural recovery and he had to die again. But these people, they have been dead for hundreds and thousands of years up till whatever time they died just before Jesus came. And whoever qualify for being an Old Testament believer with eternal life, they came up then and they went into a dimension and they're still there waiting on the rest of the believers to qualify for eternal life. And they have been there for a long time. But time is really not mentioned in that dimension. Time there will probably be very quick. It's like it was just last week, if it is 1,000 years. But we're not going to elaborate into that. So therefore, when I read this part, that there was a shout, I said, the shout must be the message, the true message that the Holy Ghost sends out in the Laodicean church age. And of course, the peak person in the Laodicean church is Brother Branham. Because he was the peak point that took all the wonderful truths and he restored them back to the people. There were truths that were already restored. But it is like this with people. If you haven't been around much, then people easily forget. Right? Because we have the Lutheran church that descends from Martin Luther. Remember, what he preached and stood for was really justification. And that is still right. You cannot push away because you say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost now. Hey, if you have the Holy Ghost, you will know that justification is needed. And sanctification came with the Methodist thought through John Wesley. And that is also true. So don't take Lutherans and Wesleyans and put them out there and say, oh, they'll go to hell. No, that's not right. They stood for something. The only problem with them is that when more came, they didn't want any more. They stayed with what they got. They'll say, ah, I'm Lutheran. I don't need any more. And that's not wise. That's kind of foolish. That's why people turn out to be foolish. But it doesn't take away from them eternal life. Because after 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51. And we mentioned the trump in Revelation 10, 7. After that, there is a Revelation 20, verse 4. That does not go together with those three statements. They indicate a different time, because the first indication gives us a resurrection before the great tribulation. But Revelation 20 verse 4 gives us the understanding that that resurrection comes after the great tribulation. Right? It's all eternal life, but it is different sections, different rewards. All right, so we'll leave it like that. So here, in this chapter, I said, my, this angel is really still sounding. He sounded through Brother William Branham's message, voice, the sounding of his ministry. But it didn't die out with him when he passed away in 1965. And if everything had been over in 65, I would not be a Christian. Because I came to the Lord in 67. Right? And when did you come to the Lord? Right? When I said I started out for the Lord in the 70s and started preaching, some people I meet say, oh, I wasn't even born then. And it takes you about 15 to 20 years to get to your senses after you're born, right? Come to the age of accountability, so that you start to understand there is a spirit world and I need to get involved. All right, so from 15 to 20 years old is a good time for people to really take responsibility over their lives and start walking with the Lord. I don't say that young children, 5-year-old and 6-year-old, shouldn't walk with the Lord. But basically they walk with the Lord because their parents do. Right? When you go to church, you bring your kids with you. And they're here playing. They might not hear or understand what is said, but they are in an environment, a spiritual environment, that one day will start speaking to them. So keep bringing them to church. And please treat them good, so they want to go to church. Eh? Some people, they spank them hard before they go to church, because they're going to be bad in church anyway. Right? And that's not right. Okay? Yeah. I have seen a lot of different things. Someone using the belt on their kids, because they're going to be bad anyway. So, and some kids, I heard one was spanked severely in the little bedroom they had, and the boy came out, and he said, Brother Stroman, did you hear anything? My, what could I say? I was quite silent. I had compassion on his rump. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I'm going to go any further with it. But I'll say, be kind and give the children a positive experience by coming. Because the Lord, He's capable of talking to them. And church is a very good environment to start. Hallelujah. All right. So when I read that part, I felt on my heart I was going to say something about it. So on a Wednesday night, some years back, I brought out a message. I called it, The Angel, the Archangel, Has Not Yet Spoken. And of course, that brought a little reaction. Because does God speak after Brother Branham passed away? I always believed that. He speaks all the time. He speaks today. 50 years after he passed away, he's still speaking. So be ready to hear his voice. And to make it short, when I was done, finished with the little sermon, I had plans to go to another church in the south part of Norway the next day. Because there was a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were going to have some meetings in a southern part. That was before Brother Vesser's time. And one of my brothers in church, he wanted to go with me. So, and on Thursday, before we left, I looked in the mailbox and there was a bunch of tapes that had arrived from Faith Assembly in Indiana. But I didn't have time to listen at it because we were going to go on this meeting. So I took the bunch, probably about 8 to 10 tapes, and I put them in my bag. I may have a chance to listen on it when we were traveling, because it took about 7-8 hours to get down to that place. And the brother, while we were traveling, he asked me, Brother Rolf, do you happen to have any tapes that we can listen to? I said, well, the matter of fact, I got some tapes today in the mail. I haven't had time to look it up yet. So he went back in my bag and he unwrapped the little box of tapes. And he looked at the first tape. And the title was, The Angel Haven't Sounded Yet. He said, that was strange. Wasn't that what you were preaching on last night? I said, yes. But he understood that I couldn't have listened to it because it was still wrapped up in the package. So we put in the tape and started listening. And the brother started 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And he took a lot of scriptures in the Bible. And I, in my Bible, I had a little paper note with the scriptures that I had written out that would lead to the understanding of the very text. And the 10 first scriptures in a row, from 1 to 10, he used them all in that sermon in the very same progress as I had written it. And he looked at me, the brother, and he said, Brother Strahman, are you sure you haven't heard this before? I said, brother, you can believe whatever you want, but this is what the Lord put upon me to say. And I am so happy that the Lord put the same thing on other people. Hey, when we come together, I am not a magician who comes up with strange scriptures that nobody knows about. I hope you understand that. I am your brother. Hey, if we preach and teach the same thing, we should rejoice that we can be on different parts of the world, thousands of miles away from each other, and the Lord reveals the same thing. Huh? To me, that's God. Yeah. Should you be jealous at a person that got something that you have because you wanted to be the first to say it? That's stupidity. No, be happy that the Lord has something that can widen our territory, understanding of the scriptures. And there might just be a little fragment of a scripture that can open up a new door to greater insight in the scriptures and an understanding in spiritual matters. So therefore, I'm so happy when I can be with people that are seeking God for more. Yeah. And I love to hear what people say so we can compare our experiences that the Lord has put in us from the various parts of the world. So that's We shouldn't be afraid of that. We should be happy for that. Well, and if you have heard what I say here this week before, then I'll say, God bless you. Right? Because at least then we speak the same thing. Yeah. We are in harmony, in unity. And I believe that the body of Christ, as Isaiah 52:8, isn't it? Speaks about coming into the unity. Yeah. They speak the same thing. And Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry, also brings people into the unity of faith. So there are different levels of understanding, but it doesn't mean that people go off the road in different directions. It's just that we might sometimes be a little limited of understanding things. Maybe we are young in the Lord and haven't read that part yet, and things like that. Okay. So I mentioned here in Daniel 12 how that the Lord keeps things as a mystery until it is time for it to unfold. And remember, the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not commonly known within all the ranks of beliefs until around 1900. Then, or late 1800. Before then, everyone almost were Trinitarians in their thoughts. But here, around 1900 and around that time, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, started to speak to ministers. Ministers in different places. And the angel of the Lord started saying, when you know baptize, baptize them in my name. And one Trinitarian guy, he didn't really understand, or he was afraid to do it different than he always had done. So he baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But he heard it three times while he was baptizing. Do it in my name. And then when he came up from baptism and they had baptized everyone, then the pastor of the church, he said, what did the Lord say to you down there in the river? And the brother got scared. And well, I heard a voice saying, baptize them in my name. And he said, well, we better check this out. And of course, they come into the book of Acts in the chapter 2, verse 38. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then through the scriptures, they found out the name was Jesus. So the pastor said, well, if you said so, come, let's do it. And they took the whole group back down to the river and they rebaptized them in the name. So that was one of the very first experiences when the Lord wanted to put the record straight. Hey, for hundreds of years, he have let them do it in a Trinitarian way. And he haven't even spoken to them. But now was the time for a restoration so that the people would get things right. And the start of the Laodicean church age was really a start of a more full revelation so that the church would know more of the secrets of the Bible. And one of them was really water baptism. And of course, the biggest of them, the biggest restoration, was the infilling of the Holy Ghost to everyone. That was the greatest one. But everything with God is great. So we don't put up measures in that respect. So when the Spirit starts speaking, then you start listening. And when Brother Jackson preached that message, the angel have not yet sounded. You know what that happened, what it did to me? I said, Lord, thank you. No, I'm certain. I'm not the only one saying it. I'm so happy. So now I can go on and I can put that as a basis in my understanding of the Word of God. Because let us go to Thessalonians chapter 4 again. And it says here, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. All right. So the shout then is really the message of the hour of the end time. And you say, is that Brother Branham? Well, Brother Branham represents the truth in the most specific way, because he took the right water baptism. He took the Godhead, and he took justification, sanctification. He took eternal security. He took a lot of different things that were restored back. But the groups of believers, they were sitting in each cradle or church, and they were holding, some were holding on to justification, others hold on to sanctifications, and you can change the names. And you say, some were Baptist, some were Pentecostal, some were Methodist, some were Lutheran, some were Calvinist, and on and on. They followed a revelation and a revival, because the Lord revived the people in those days, and they ended up sitting under a revival and a certain minister. And then when the minister died off, they made a circle around it and they said, let us now keep this truth so that it doesn't get lost. So they circled it in and they focused on it, and some people pushed it way too far and made it mean things that it doesn't even mean. Because that is the problem when you circle in things. Remember, you come to this truth. You believe that Brother Branham was a prophet of God who brought truth into the body of Christ. And Brother Branham, he have 1,200 tapes, sermons that people can read. And they are good to read. But when you read, remember, you sit here, you listen to me, right? Whether it is good or bad, you have to be the judge. Okay? So, when I'm done, I have preached a sermon. And I am just a brother. I believe to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe I'm trying my utmost best to present a true line of thought. I don't want to throw anyone off and tell you a lie or tell you personal experience to lead you off or out of the Bible. My effort is to give you the scriptures in a balanced way. And I believe that was Brother Branham's mission too. And it should be every minister's mission to do the very same. All right? So therefore, when you read 1,200 tapes or booklets, you're going to have a certain concept of understanding. But remember, it's going to be tough to remember all the 1,200. Right? That's almost impossible. We don't have a brain with glue, super glue, that we can remember just everything. But when we read, We read with a desire. That's what I do. When I take something and I read it, or if it is the Bible, I say, Lord, I'm not reading. Remind me of what is needful to understand. Help me, Lord, so that I can read the right thing and understand it your way, not my way. All right? So here, when the scriptures, when you read them and when you hear tapes, then some people, they use their own imagination. We can all do that. And then in Brother Branham's tracks after him, there had grown a lot of different groups of believers. But the same thing is in the Methodist Church and in the Baptist Church and in Pentecostal Church and in all different denominations. There are wide fractions of belief. I'm not going to go into detail of what they believe, but that is something that everybody knows. You can go to a Nazarene Pentecostal. You can go to an Assemblies of God Pentecostal. You can go to a United Pentecostal, and on and on. And you will hear different things. They don't even fit together. They have certain diversions that are going in a different direction. All right, so it is with Brother Branham's message too. The message itself shouldn't lead them to wild thoughts. But when people have a mixed desire, then they can make things out of what is said and just start a new group, a new denomination. And I remember when Pastor Raymond Jackson was rejected in Norway. Remember, Brother Jackson, he was a well-known minister, and he had a balanced understanding of the scripture. But some people didn't like him, and they rejected his ministry. He was in South Africa one time back in 1977. And there, he preached in the city of Johannesburg in one of the churches. And because he did not mention William Branham enough, they rose up and said, "That's enough, brother. Sit down. We don't want this." And the brother had to sit down. Yeah. He'd come all the way from the United States to preach, and they made him sit down. And that was one of the most dearest servants of the Lord. Hey, remember Jesus was standing preaching, and the Pharisees said, "We don't believe that. Get out of here. He shouldn't live. Let's kill him." Right? So that happens all the time, all over the world. And in this late time, hour, the same thing happens over again. So, and Brother Jackson came to Norway in 1975. First he came in 73. And some of the people had been over in America. And they had heard that Brother Jackson is not in the message. No, he's a black-colored bird. So don't listen to him. And they came home to Norway and they said, "Brother Jackson is not in the message." And the people got shocked. "He is not?" I said, "Well, we better do something about it. Kick him out." Yeah. They didn't even ask him what he was teaching. They just got the word of mouth through someone, and they took a quick decision. And I went down to that meeting back in those days, 1975. And I sat there, and I heard Brother Jackson preach. He preached only one sermon in Norway in 75. And they kicked him out. And I was sitting there listening. I was sitting like Brother June on the first bench, and I was hungry because in 73 that man made sense. He spoke the Bible, and that's what I like. And then when I heard him, He presented a very simple message. It was beautiful. But I said in my heart, why does the man struggle so hard to preach such a simple gospel? I didn't know the fight and the struggle that was going on, because I live up in the north part. And those are the people in the southern part of the country. They live more than 600 kilometers away from me. And then I heard a voice. The Lord spoke. And He said, the way they treat this brother is the same spirit that throw you out of the Salvation Army and out of the Pentecostal church. And I said, my Lord, is it possible that the people who believe this truth are so rude and don't really understand what they're doing? That's really something. Because after Brother Jackson had preached the message, they gathered around him and they used a machine gun type of terrorism against him to put him out of business spiritually completely. Of course, they didn't have a machine gun. It was their mouth that went like a machine gun. Yeah. Attacking him. And then they say, you are not welcome here anymore. Leave this country. Hey, they have no power to put you out of a country. But they were very rude. And when the Lord said, that's the same tactic as the denominations are doing towards the truth. Mm-hmm. And I spoke back to the Lord and I said, Lord, but didn't Brother Branham say that this message cannot be organized like denominated? And the voice spoke back and said, no, the message cannot, but people can. People can organize around a thought, a word, something that they feel is valuable, and they just build a denomination upon that. So I understood that the very same fight that the people had against the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church was after them, is an ongoing thing. That will just go on. If you turn from Catholic to Lutheran, then the Catholics will be after you. If you go from Lutheran to Methodist, the Lutherans will be after you. If you go from Methodist to Pentecostal, the Methodists will be after you. And the Baptists will be after you. In Trondheim, in my own city where I'm born and raised, you know who brought a revival to Trondheim? It was Methodist and Baptist people who were sick of and tired of the dry condition in their churches. They started going on their knees, praying and seeking God. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Around 1913, there was a great revival in Trondheim city. And it was Methodist and Baptist people that were in the basement praying, seeking God. And the Baptist organization and the Methodist organization, they didn't like it, so they kicked them out. And now they didn't have an organization anymore. But they stayed in a revival for a certain length of time. And that was really what later became the Pentecostal experience and the Pentecostal church. So there's always been a tale after a revival where people don't like what's going on. And when Brother Branham started preaching and he got a following, then all the organizations started fighting him. First, they invited him because he had signs and wonders. And he preached the truth. But then the truth became difficult for them to receive. Because you have to change your life. You have to live Christ-like. Remember, you can have this Bible and walk with it like this. But if you don't open it up and live by it, it doesn't matter how many Bibles you got. Right? Whether you have I have English, Tagalog, Norwegian, I have Jewish, I got so many Bibles, my, don't come here. Doesn't help you a bit. You have to read it. And you have to pray God to give you an understanding so that you can get a loving desire for the truth and for the people. We have to become like Jesus Christ. Right? Same standards, at least seeking to be in the same standards. Then we won't go around bragging. Then we'll be humble, contrite, and always ready to listen to the Spirit. All right. I use a little time here on this, but that is really what happens in every country. What I'm saying here, I believe a lot of people can raise up and say the very same thing about their own experiences in the Lord. Yeah. So while this shout in chapter 4 in Thessalonians is going out, there is a lot of resistance against it because the shout reaches people's heart and you change and you start living for Him. But there is another thing coming, as it also was written. I'll see here. I move around here in my scripture. And it says here, first with a shout, and then with the voice of an archangel. The voice of an archangel. What I got out of the scripture was the angel has shouted. The Lord comes down. And of course the Lord, the Spirit is invisible and inspires people that starts shouting out what the Lord reveals to them. And that shout is still going on. That shout works today. It's a message to bring people to Christ, to get you filled with the Holy Ghost, to make you repent, get baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. That shout will last until there is a different stage popping in. The voice of an archangel. All right. The reason I mentioned Brother Raymond Jackson, I didn't have a clue about this, what I'm now going to say, at that time. It was 1978. And we were sitting at an airport in Norway, in Kristiansand. And he took up a pen and a little note, a piece of paper. And he started drawing a little drawing. And he made a line. Yeah. I'm just going to illustrate it easily for you. If you have a piece of paper and you draw a line like this on the bottom of the paper, and then you take a line that goes 90 degrees right up, you can use the whole piece of paper if you want to. And then he took 7 dots on the bottom line, 7 dots, and he put 7 crosses above the dots. Now he made a little sketch, and he said the dots represents the church age messengers. The cross over the dots represents the angels that were inspiring them. Okay? So now we have 7 dots in your mind. You can see them. You have the 7 angels, right? This is not difficult. And, of course, the bottom line is a timeline. Start at the beginning of the dispensation of grace, that we call it, or the dispensation of Gentiles. Then the 7 dots progresses. Of course, the angelic beings they anoint their messengers, but, as we have now said, they also anoint the whole church age. So each angel have responsibility over a church age. And then up to the seventh one. And you are now the dot, right? Representation of the seventh church age. And there is an angel over that one. The dot, if it represents the messenger, okay, then the dot would be the messenger of the seventh church age. But, and he is not an angel, the angel is above him, inspiring him, telling him what to do. But since Brother Branham passed away, the cross, the angel is still active. He's still inspiring people. And then you come to the end, where you meet the other line that goes 90 degrees straight up. And now I want you to put dots on that line too. You put seven dots on that line, right? And you can put a cross above every dot. So now you have seven on this side, and you have seven upwards. All right. This bottom line still represents the timeline. But this one does not really represent timeline. Because this is what is going to happen. Everything at the same time. Everything at the same time. And then he took the seventh dot and he made a little bow. He drew a line from the seventh till the first dot on the upward line. Right? And he put also a line from the cross. The angel moved over there. And then he took the sixth and fifth. And so it made, hey, no, your piece of paper might look like a mess. But the main thought is that the Lord sent one angel for each church age. But when the church age is over, the Laodicean church age is fading out. The Lord is going to do a mighty thing. He's going to take the seven angels, all of them, and he's going to put them over each thunder voice. Seven thunders utters their voices. Shall we go back to Revelation chapter 10? Yeah, I'll just go back. In verse 3, chapter 10, and cried with a loud voice. This is the angel that really governs the whole age of grace. The whole system. Right? He cries out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. So thunders is really voice of human beings. They're voices of human beings. But they will not sound. Remember, who can ever say, thus said the Lord, except the Lord anoints him? Right? You cannot just go around and say, I got the gifts of the Spirit. I can say, thus said the Lord, anytime. That will not work. You can only use the gifts of the Spirit under inspiration. And these angels, the seven angels, they are all ready to start to be activated. Well, they're always active. I'll just make a picture like this. When Brother Branham in 1963 was caught up in the air in the spirit, I don't believe his body went up, but his spirit went up, and he saw seven angels in a constellation. Those seven angels have always been together. Yeah. It's not that six angels are sitting in a sofa drinking coffee, waiting on the seventh one to finish his work. They're always together. And in Brother Branham's vision, they were also together. But it was the seventh one who spoke to him. Right? So, all the seven angels are there. But it is the seventh one that is in the lead. I mentioned about the beast in Revelation 13. That beast had the mouth of a lion, feet like a bear, right? A head like a lion, a feet like a bear, a body like a leopard. And the beast itself represented the most terrible, the fourth setting on it was a completion of four angelic beings that have been together all the time. But it was the lion angel, bad angel of course, first Babylonian, then Persian, then Greece, and then Roman. So angelic beings has always been there, but there's been an angel in the lead, took control. Remember, the four living creatures? The four living creatures have protected the body of Christ since the day of Pentecost and all the way up to the end of the church age. But there is one living creature for one setting and for a certain time element. Then it changes to the next, the ox, and then the next to the man, and then last and final to the eagle. Yeah. So they're all together, but one is in the lead. Hey, it's order in the heavenly settings. And they know what they're doing. And now it is about time for the seven thunder voices to utter their voices. But when they start uttering their voices, it is because that the seven angels starts inspiring them. And a few years back, before, yeah, in the 90s, I will say, late 90s, people started fantasying that they knew the names of the thunder voices. And they started traveling around in the world to give information. You are a thunder. You are a thunder. You are a thunder. Yeah. Hey, that didn't work. So they put mortal names on the men that was to be thunder voices. Remember, we are not the choosers of the voices or of the men. God is. And you must say, yeah, but I think I know who they are. I'll say, don't try it. Don't do it. Don't play with it. This will come through and happen when the time is right. The timing is very important. You start something before you're supposed to start, you will be disqualified. Have you seen people skating? Skating 500 meters, 1,000, 1,500, 10,000 meters. And they stand there ready. And even if they make a move before the shot goes, they say, oh, you're starting too early. So you have to be quite real still until the shot goes and then you can move, right? So don't try to start this before it happens. But it is an information. And Brother Jackson, he brought that little picture out that I drew before, you know, without having paper. And when he drew it that way, you know, it stuck, it got glued to my mind. And it never left. And there have been a lot of talk about seven thunder voices and what are they, have they already sounded and stuff like that. But I believe it was a scriptural based information to be unlocked when the time is right. Yeah. How late are we in time? Only God knows. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the voice of an archangel. That's going to happen before the rapture. Hey, I tell you, we are living in exciting times. And you must say, Brother Stroman, when is it going to happen? When? Can you tell me? Do you know a secret? I'm telling you all the secrets I know. Right? I don't try to hide. But I'm not trying to activate something that is not activated. That's very important. But since we are on Revelation 10:7, and we are hearing about the trump of God, and we mentioned Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, and now into more details of Thessalonians, the voice of the archangel is really the sounding, the inspirational voice that will wake up. It's not that the seven men or the seven voices, earthly voices, are sleeping, but when the anointing comes, they will wake up to a different type or kind of ministry. And it's going to be a miraculous one. But we will have to leave it for what it is until the anointing comes. But the voice of the archangel is right before us. And you know, Brother Jackson, 1978, when he drew that sketch before in front of me, and he said, I believe it is right before us. Right? 78, 88, 98, 2008, and we're soon to be 2018. Okay, we are 37 years after a statement. So I hope you understand what I'm saying here. When I say, it can't be long now, leave it till the anointing comes. The only thing you need to have is confidence in the Word of God. When you read 1 Thessalonians 4:16, read it a few times. Think about it. What is the shout? Can I say honestly that the shout is the shout of the messenger of the seventh church age? I mean, the angel brings the shout out, but it reflects in the ministry of William Branham, and after his death, the ministry of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Right? So that's the sounding and the conclusion of the shout. And when whoever is a bride, when they're brought into the unity of faith, then the Lord will sound with an archangel. And that archangel will be placed. Remember now, it was easy back in the days of Israel. Israel is not a big country. It is about 50 kilometers wide. and about 350 kilometers long. The Philippines are bigger than Israel, a lot bigger. And you have 100 million people here on these islands. In Israel, they have 7 million now. If it was only to be revealed in Israel, the Lord wouldn't need that many men. But since the world is covered with divided in continents, you have North, South Africa, America, you have Africa, Europe, Asia, you have Australia, you have continents. So it would not surprise me at all that the Lord puts strategically people with a revelation scattered over the world to cover certain areas. And remember, as people today, we can travel within hours to the ends of the world. Can't we? I can jump on an airplane and go up to Hong Kong, catch my flight for Norway, and be home in 12 to 14 hours. And then it's completely on another part of the world. This world is getting smaller and smaller because of the speed of transport. But of course, God knows all that. So He knew that before He started it. So He placed 7 angels in a strategic way. And now they're ready to anoint someone that will have a final word that's going to prepare you and me. It's not going to save us. It's not going to fill us with the Holy Ghost. We're already filled with the Holy Ghost. But it's going to be something that will excite you, make you determined to trim your wick, your lamp, and prepare and be ready to walk in so that the door can be shut behind you, not in front of you. Right? I pray there will be no one here that will see the door shut in front of their face, but that you will be humble and really love the Lord and press on in this battle until the Lord says, "Well done, come in," and He'll close the door. You understand me tonight? Right? Okay. And of course, the last part of chapter 4, the trump of God. So when we read in Thessalonians, He says, the shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trump. And the trump is the quickening of the deceased. The dead bodies come alive, and they're raised from the dead. And the living people are changed into immortality. That's not the work of the 7 thunder voices. They're only going to prepare the living. And then the orchestra is ready to be caught in the air. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm really excited. And I pray that my life will always represent the light, the truth. Because I have seen how error and people have treated each other. And I'm sad to see those things that always causes division and fight, envy and strive. I hope that we can represent the gospel. When people hate us, we smile back. When they speak evil of us, we speak well of them. Don't give them any fire. Don't put wood on their fire so they can build up a greater one, a bigger one. No. Use gentleness. That's water on fire. Right? Use all the skills that the Holy Ghost puts in you to keep the peace if possible. And if it isn't possible, then let the Lord lead you and walk away. Don't get yourself into a beehive and think you're going to save the world or save people that really don't want to be saved. Ask the Lord for wisdom to go on always with that sharing revelation live and kicking inside you. That's my prayer. So I'll stop now. I don't know how long time I use. I usually use very short time until I talk to my wife and she says, you've been... All right, you understand.
Amen.
Okay, let's pray.